This is Jonathan Bingham. Welcome to Get Connected. I pray that God's Word will challenge you, encourage you, and equip you wherever you are in your walk with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this audio presentation. This lesson series challenges us to define our desired destination, compare that with our current direction, recognize the decisions we have made that resulted in our direction, acknowledge the thoughts that shaped those decisions, and to take charge of the many factors that influence our thinking. It was presented to our adult Bible study at Eastside Church in Marietta, Georgia in the fall of 2015. God bless you as we study His Word.
You'll remember that our study is the principle of the path that Andy Stanley has preached in the past. I'm calling it, Where Are You Going? And really trying to include not only his idea that direction determines destination, which is an absolute fact. It's a principle that you can't violate. But that, though, plus other stuff coming into play as well to try to put an even bigger picture from start to finish, right? It's great to say that your direction determines your destination, but what determines your direction? And with that question in mind, okay, well, your decisions determine your direction. Okay, great. What affects, you know, where do your decisions come from? Well, your decisions come from thoughts. What's going on up here? That is what sets the path for that result in your decisions. Well, what affects your thoughts? And what we're talking about now is really the beginning point of all this stuff. And if you'll remember, we talked about lots and lots of things that affect our thoughts. And some of them are things that we don't have control over, like our sin nature. That's part of it. Our upbringing, the culture that we grew up in, the teachers that we had, our parents, our home situation, all that stuff, prejudices, disorders, all those things. All of those things do affect our thoughts, but we don't have control over them directly. And that being the case, we are focusing on the other things that we do have control over, and I think I added one accidentally up here. That one we haven't really talked about it, but it probably fits in there. But since it's not on our official list, then we'll leave that one off. We just started last week talking about friends, and we will talk about music, books, TV, movies, and really I'm going to kind of expand that more to video because these days much of our visual motion input that we see, or a lot of it comes from other sources, internet and all. So we'll broaden that one. And then some incredibly positive ones that we'll focus on at the end is Bible, the Bible and sermons and worship. And so that's just a reminder, that's the big picture, that's where we're going. And all these things here affect our thoughts, which affect our decisions, which affects our direction, which sets our destination. So last week we began talking about these influences on our thoughts, and we talked about our friends, and just to kind of get rolling with that, because we didn't finish that.
We talked a little more after you left too.
Oh, we did?
A lot of discussion on that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm eager to hear that. Was I wrong? Was it all wrong and I need to start over?
I think a lot of us were struggling with the line.
That was
a friend is, mm-hmm. And if a friend is not a Christian, are we doing something wrong there?
Yep, good question. So let's get to that point here pretty quickly. The starting point with that idea of friends is that those of us who are parents focus so much on who our friends hang out with because our children's friends are because they affect them. We know that, it's obvious, and we care a whole lot. So if we see them hanging out with somebody that we don't think is a positive influence, then what do? We stop it. And we make such a big deal, such a definite thing, issue about that, but yet we don't face the fact that there's not some age at which that's no longer true. It's true for all of us, that for us at any age, the people that we hang around influence us. They influence the way we act, how we look, what we do, how we talk. All of those things, they influence our priorities, our values. And so all of those things being true, then we realized last week that the Scripture does give us some pretty good direction about that. And we talked about not hanging out with fools, because Proverbs 14:7, leave the presence of a fool or you will not discern words of knowledge. You will start to think foolish thoughts, if you hang around fools. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So walking with wise men, do you want to be wise? Well, I think that if any of us in this room, if we were going to make the choice, you know, let's see, do I want to be a fool or do I want to be wise? I don't think that there are many in the room who would sign up for the fool job. No, we want to be wise. And so how do you do that? You find wise people to hang around. If you want to be godly, what do? Do you hang around idiots? Do you hang around people who are perverted? Do you hang around people who have no values or don't share those values? No, you hang around godly people. And so that is so true for us. And then the final thing that we talked about, and this is where the line got drawn, and so we'll have to talk about that if that's an issue, because I certainly recognize that I typically can draw very, you know, very definitive lines when those lines aren't necessarily appropriate, and I don't want to do that, so let's talk about that. That's the 2 Corinthians 6:14 passage. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness? And so my position from that last week was pretty clear, and that is that we should not be associated with people who are lost at a level where they will influence us, because they will bring us down. Now, clearly, we can't say that we can't be associated with lost people, period, because that would be wrong on so many levels, and it would be the opposite of Jesus. If Jesus is our example, and He is, then we need to figure out how what He did fits into this, and then us use that as our model. And so I will say that. What I said last week was this, that certainly when it comes to our spouse, now for us, most are married, and that being the case, this is something that should have been an issue for us in the past, but definitely something for our kids right now for us to be thinking about, and that is that we marry someone who is a committed follower of Jesus. And for our children, that we lead them to do that. And by the way, how do you do that? Well, you know, if your kid shows up having the hots for somebody who is lost, and they say, but I'm not going to marry them, I just want to date them. The problem with that is that there's going to come a time when you're going to marry someone, and that will be somebody that you dated. And so if you set the standard, the guardrail up, that I'm only going to date people, or you know, whatever your version of dating is that you're going to allow for your children, that you only allow that with people who are committed followers of Jesus, then whoever it is that you end up marrying is going to be a committed follower of Jesus. So that's the guardrail that you put up for that. And that's why for us as parents, and I'll tell you, I'm already dreading this so much that I am about to die. Because the shotgun thing is fine, but sometimes I think I may end up having to shoot my own kids because they're the ones that are drawing flies. And so I'm really concerned about that. And you know, for all of us, that's something, of course, that's going to be a big concern. But I will say absolutely, without fear of contradiction, that in the matter of our spouse, that God's plan for His committed followers is to find other committed followers of His to marry. I'm absolutely certain of that. Okay, so that verse applied that way, I think is clear for us to draw that line. I would say that for any close friend, like your best friend, or for some of you who have, you know, however many, 3 best friends or 5 or whatever that list would be, or for Trina, the closest 200 best friends that she's met this week, you know, it's that for a best friend is somebody that we absolutely open up our hearts to, and who absolutely they open their hearts up to us, and that relationship is intended. A part of that relationship is that we really significantly influence one another. That's what that kind of friendship is going to be. And I really don't think that it would be, now I won't say it's not possible, but I will absolutely say that I am confident it would not be wise to have that level of friendship with someone who is not a committed follower of Jesus. Now, apparently, last week after I left, the conversation came up about, well, where is that line? Because I probably drew it a little too far away. But remember, I don't like people. So you know, not having people close to me works well in my particular case. But in reality, for us in our day-to-day situations, then we do need to look at Jesus. And let's talk about that. Let's just talk about it, because I don't claim to know where that line should be perfectly. And it may end up that we just end up saying, okay, you know, we need to trust God to give us wisdom, and that when we do establish relationships with people who are lost, hopefully, you know, likely for the opportunity to lead them to Christ, that we do it in such a way that we know ahead of time, I'm not going to allow, you know, this kind of influence to bring me down, while at the same time I am there to bring them closer to Christ some way. All right, so that's what I think. What did y'all talk about?
Well, I think it was more on the reaching lost people, and I think in today's society, and I think a few other people agreed last week, we don't tend to have as many close friends as maybe when we were younger, or even like our parents. Like, you know, everybody hangs out on the block together and that sort of thing. That seems to kind of be going away. So you have a lot of acquaintances. Mm-hmm.
And acquaintances aren't on that list. Acquaintances are the people that there can be a little bit of influence and stuff, but it's not that same level.
For myself, I would say that the people that would influence me, Emily, my parents, my in-laws, those would be the big influencers in my life. There may be some other people mm-hmm. involved, but and she's not here this morning. But Rose has a lot of contact with a lot of. Yeah. People that are not her close friends, mm-hmm. but she didn't like your line, and I could see it based on, you know, who she's around, and mm-hmm. she's trying to influence them for the better.
Yeah, well, and she's great at that. Remember the party that she had, that
exactly.
Where she invited her friends in to be with us
right.
For that exact purpose. So I see that.
Yeah, and I think it's, well, I don't know, I don't. Not going to let many people influence me. I think it has a lot to do with the person, too.
And
yeah.
The age, like our kids, you know, is different for us.
They're different.
I wouldn't allow my son to go to somebody's house who I know that their parents are not going to back us up in a way that we would for their children. Mm-hmm. But they're welcome to come to our house, but they still have to follow our rules when they do come.
Yeah. And yet, as an adult, you would go to that house and visit even if they don't share your values, knowing ahead of time that that's the case, but and just being aware, but being firmly established more so than children would be. That makes sense. I think, you know, thinking through this, I mentioned a gentleman that I worked with until very recently a few times in here as a prayer request, a guy that opposite me in every way possible, I really think, and people who knew both of us and saw us working together so well would say that, you know, how do you guys get along so well because you are so opposite? One of the ways that we're opposite is that I was, you know, they knew I was a believer, he knew I was a believer, he was essentially an atheist, and yet we were really close, and so I can see, I see the other side of that line. I think that the danger is that for many of us, we don't see that there should be a line. And so, you know, my tendency is to draw lines because that's my personality. But I think that part of the importance of the lesson or the point of the lesson is to realize there is a line, there needs to be. And when we get into relationships, that we have to be incredibly careful to know that there must be a line and that with people who don't share our same faith in Christ, that we have to be aware that unless we're careful, they can influence us and draw us away from Christ. And you know, when I was teaching last week, I thought, you know what, here I am drawing a line. It's been a long time since I've drawn lines because I learned early on how legalistic I can be. But I thought, no, this one seems pretty clear and obvious. I don't think anybody would disagree. So that's what I get for thinking, right?
You weren't going to your house to burn it down or anything.
Well,
Yeah.
Well, I think that the stuff that you guys brought up and the issues are really, really very, very appropriate. You don't have if you don't establish influence by opening up to them,
yeah.
And are you trying? Am I trying to say that you? Well, it's fine for them to open up to you and give you influence into their life, but you shouldn't into theirs. I see the point. Yeah, that's a really good point. And so let's qualify what I said last week, and really just be aware. I think that's the thing to take away, is to be aware. Now, I have some questions that I want for us to think about. Unfortunately, we're already done, which is actually okay with me, because even though I had another week and a half's worth, I always try to come into the room with at least a week and a half's worth of content ready. Yeah, you weren't here last week for it. We had a discussion about that. Yeah. No, I... No, we're not. And I think we're going to exceed that. Okay. but I actually, I'm okay with us not making as much progress, because given my, I mean, honestly, just selfishly, my personal schedule right now is such that that'll work out just fine for me personally. I have some questions that I at least would like for you to think about, and we'll start out with these next week as we finish this concept of friendship. No, not next week, 2 weeks from now, if we're here. That's the day after my birthday, and Trina's trying to take me on a trip. But we'll see.
Like the world was
in. Oh, hey, well, yeah, we already missed that. Anyway, here's some questions. I would love for you to think about and be able to give examples of how the people you have chosen to associate with have had a positive impact on your life. So think about some ways that some people have had positive impacts on your life. And then, though, the opposite. Think about some who have had a negative impact on you in your life. And then, here is a couple of really serious questions. Who in your life encourages you toward God? Who pulls you away? Who encourages you toward God? Who pulls you away? And then a couple of other questions, but that's a great few questions for us to consider over the next weeks. And I would love for you to, as you have these relationships and interactions with these people, to have these questions in mind. And you can even put the foot on the other hand and look at your influence on them from their perspective, if you wish. Let's look at those interactions and see, are these people pulling me toward God, encouraging me toward Him, or are they pulling me away? Because every relationship we have is doing one or the other. All right, so let's do that. I apologize that we're 5 minutes past our stop time. Bill, it was great to have you here this morning. Thrilled to know that things are going well in your lives. And please, of course, give Cheryl and the kids our best. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for our time together. And thank you for the wisdom in this class. And Lord, we seek to live like Jesus. And you know my heart and my tendency toward legalism. Thank you, Lord, for that getting corrected this morning, and that we would know how to be like Jesus in our relationships, in our friendships, that we would choose our friends carefully, that we would be aware of their influence on us. Please help us, Lord. Please, this next week or two, help us have insight into the relationships in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.